Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas here live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang.
And guys, we've got a jam-packed show this evening. Obs, we're going to be bringing the showbiz gossip because, well, it's what we live for.
About the weather.
Well, yeah. We're going to talk about the weather because, well, when the sun's out, we've got to talk about it because next week, who knows what's going to be going on. But weather aside, because you ain't here for the weather, let's have it right. We're going to be speaking to Oliver and James Jordan from Strictly Come Dancing and Made in Chelsea's Imogen Bloom. But Stephen, firstly, before weather, how have you been? How's your week, darling?
Yeah, it was all going well until Monday night when I started vomiting out of nowhere at 3 a.m. Oh. And I wasn't even drunk or hungover.
What brought it on? Bad bellies?
Must have eaten something or something. So I had pretty much, well, I wouldn't say 24, maybe like 18 hours of sickness. And then
bright
as rain after that.
Are you feeling raw inside?
Oh, Bob.
it's horrible that 18 hours of chundering, looking at Armitage Shanks on the toilet, you just think, I can't.
Such a good point. I just don't want to.
It's the only thing to read when your head's down the toilet, you just look at Armitage Shanks hour after hour. I don't know another brand, to be fair, but I'm sure there are.
That is such a good point. But yes, I was definitely very sick of staring at my toilet. But I managed to get some. You know, the tablets that you might need when you're ill.
Yeah,
won't go into any more details than that. And then I was all right by yesterday evening. And then I woke up this morning absolutely fine, as if it never happened.
And then the sun come out. So sorry if anyone's having their lovely little bit of a pie and mash or their dinner right now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What about you, Bobby? All right?
Yeah, I'm good as gold, thank you, my love. All good, my end. Out and about today. Love that the sun's out in London. I feel like we have waited what feels like years for a little bit of sun.
Yeah, since last summer, I think, really, haven't we?
Yeah, and I don't want to rub it in, guys, because, well, it is what it is, but we have got a lovely bit of aircon in the studio. Mm-hmm.
And it's on, and it's working.
Oh, it is on. Because I've been out doing Bobby on the Street today, and on the minute I opened the studio door, I was like, oh, my God, aircon.
It's a real relief, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. But obviously,
that was like me in New York, basically running from shop to shop because it was so hot because I was just trying to
get a bit of cold air. But isn't it funny, like abroad, like wherever you are on holiday, there's always aircon, especially like America, isn't there? But we just don't really need it here for the 2.5 hours we have a year, so it don't warrant it.
It's a fair point. Although very nice, some of the tubes now have aircon.
Yeah, Vicky Line. Lizzie Line.
Lizzie Line, Hammersmith and City.
Vicky Line certainly ain't.
No.
Essential ain't either.
Piccadilly, no.
I think it's just Lizzie.
And the Hammersmith City and District.
Yeah, I don't really use that one a lot.
Do you not?
No.
They where's go all that, the way that up goes to Essex, babes.
I go Central.
Fair enough.
No, that's the one that goes to Sherlock's home.
Paddington. No.
No, Baker Street. That one goes up. That's the one that goes to, I think it goes to Hammersmith.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it does if it's called the Hammersmith line.
Yeah,
it would
does.
Be a
well
shit
done.
Line if it don't go to Hammersmith.
Yeah, fair, it does, babe. You're right.
But again, we digress, talking all about, we bring everything to you guys. We'll tell you what train to get, what tube, what the weather is. So we're going to leave all
you
that.
Need.
We're going to park it and we're going to do what we do best. And that's spilling the tea on showbiz news. So, babe, I always throw it over to you first. Let's talk showbiz stories this week. It's been a busy one.
Mm.
What's caught your old mince pies?
Well, I think, actually, from what I found really interesting this week, actually, was the story of John Waite doing Strictly and talking about how he fell in love with his dance partner, Johannes. They were the first
male
pairing, thank you, on Strictly. He revealed how it's a bit weird because he doesn't say that they actually did anything, right? Nothing actually happened between them, but he said he basically did fall in love with him and then did briefly break up with his partner, Paul.
So from reading through the lines there, obviously he hasn't really put pen to paper and spilled the tea, but do you think he's kind of spilt the tea as much as he can?
Yeah.
Is he basically, what do you reckon's happened? Do you reckon they did bits?
Well, he did say that he'd messed around with some soap stars or something at some point as well, so he's had a cheeky snog here and there. I think it's a bit of a funny one, isn't it? It's a bit, I'm intrigued. And it's also interesting to hear that perspective where something happened, but he also sort of decided in the end that he went would rather go back to his long-term partner.
Do you think that's why him and the fella broke up? I mean, this is all obviously alleged, and this is in our opinion, guys, before...
Who? John and his partner?
Yeah,
but then they did get back together.
Yeah, but do you think they broke up because he fell for...
Johannes?
Yeah.
I think so, right? Yeah. That's what he was implying.
Yeah.
But
kind of the first,
not,
obviously, it's the first time we've had a male-male pairing, as you say. But it just shows that even the gays ain't exempt from the Strictly curse.
No.
And not that much of a curse, because he re-corrected the curse.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think that it was very interesting that, just that he's been so honest about it.
Yeah.
And this is, 2 years after the fact? He didn't really have to talk about it now, but he has. And also, he mentioned how, being pressed up against someone for 10 hours a day. I can imagine even if initially you don't find someone attractive.
Oh, God, if there's a geezer pinning you up against the wall for 10 hours a day, Stephen, you're going to fall for him.
Of course. I can really see how that would happen.
If Quasimodo was dragging you around for 10 hours, you know what I mean?
Throwing me all over,
spinning me around the floor.
Quasimodo's got some prime real estate living in central Paris.
Yeah, and he's got some good shoulders on him.
So we'll take a Quasimodo.
And I'm a sucker for a good shoulder. So, Quasi, if you're listening...
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you reckon the partners are worried about him talking about it? They must have had this conversation.
I would have thought. And also, I think that John's partner is out of the limelight, isn't he? He's not sort of someone that's clearly not someone that's chased fame.
No.
And good for him. I don't know. I just found that really interesting. And I thought, well, good for him for coming out about it and saying it. But also deciding in the end that his life with his partner meant more to him. Really.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, I think he respects... And the thing is, the fact he's back with his partner, we're just reading between the lines, all alleged. But I think maybe we would know more if he didn't. And maybe a lot of it's out of respect that he's not gone into a lot more detail.
Mm.
But I think we're reading between the lines and we kind of get the gist he's saying. But it is kind of, I think, one of them things that just shows. Because, I mean, forever and a day they've spoke about the Strictly curse.
Mm.
And it just goes to show that but it is one of them things, and you hit the nail on the head, to dance with someone that intensely, you're seeing them more than your partner. Who's running around with their partner for 10 hours a day, especially dancing?
Yeah, pushed up against them as well.
No.
Unless you've only just met, that's not happening.
No. And if you're lucky, I can't tell you, I've never slept for 10 hours a night, do you know what I mean? So we probably, at best, I think I'll get 6 hours. So.
Yeah, on a good night, yeah.
So, interesting.
What about
interesting
you? What
stuff.
About you, Bob? What have you noticed this week?
Well, I know we spoke about it a lot over the years, but we're throwing back to Wagga for Christie and Colleen Rooney. So she faces potential legal drama over the name of her new Disney Plus documentary. So the Wagga is currently filming a 3-part series telling her side of the story. Mm-hmm. Which I'm here for.
Yes, obviously, yeah.
However, Rebecca has trademarked the term Wagga for Christie, meaning Rooney was forced to change the working title. So will the dramas ever end, Stephen?
I just love that, exactly that. It just, this story just will not die. They both want to tell their sides of the story. The fact that Rebecca Vardy managed to legally acquire the Wagga for Christie name. Did
Which
she even come up with
no,
it?
No, it was someone on Twitter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From what I know, I'm sure it is it, but I don't know. But I'm sure it was someone just come out on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't think Rebecca coined it, but she was clever enough to trademark it, and now she's coining it. But I just want to know, are they just sending the same check back and forth to each other? Because Rebecca have to send one to Colleen because of the court case? Is she now sending that back to Bex? This check, has anyone even cashed it?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it is getting slightly ridiculous. I mean, all this over, what was it, Instagram close friends circle.
I mean, it was an iconic Instagram story, though,
wasn't it? It really was.
Dot, dot, dot. It was the drama of it all.
Rebecca Vardy's account.
I reckon a lawyer read through that 100%. Before she proceeded. I mean, I don't think, I've never met Colleen, but... she seems like a clever girl.
I will say, I haven't actually... I did watch one part of the Channel 4 sort of recreation of the court drama, which is literally just the the court transcript turned into like a TV drama, which is great.
And if they got actresses doing it, I've seen clips of when they done that with Arrow recently.
Yeah, and it's brilliant because, but I actually didn't finish the whole series. I feel like, even though I'm a person who's invested in celebrity culture and I, you know, love it, I'm a bit bored now.
Yeah, you're
this is years.
It.
This is years and years now. This is going on. And there's, what more is there to say, really, at this point? It's a bit like Harry and Meghan.
See, the thing is, they're just the gifts that keep on giving. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
And see, I haven't seen that documentary, but the minute you started saying there was like actresses playing them, I can't remember what tabloid it was. I'm sure there was a newspaper or there might have been a digital TV channel that was like making their version of a redhead actor stood in a corner of like a little wooden box around him, reading out. Sky News, it was Sky, was doing this little recreation.
Yeah.
So I've not seen the Rebecca and Colleen, but for me, these kind of things, and the same with Harry and Meghan, like, I don't know if it's because it's our business, it's the industry, but I do just find it, I want to know everything, it's even down to the phone falling out the boat in the North Sea. Oh, yeah. I love the, what the do they specific call it, the minutiae, the minutiae.
Minutiae.
Like, yeah, just the shit.
The little
that
bits.
The
yeah,
little
yeah,
bits
yeah.
of shit that go with it. That's what I like. I like the, what's it called? Minutiae.
Minutiae.
See, yeah.
I do know what you
mean. The odds and sods.
the bits and bobs.
Yeah, I want it all. And I will be watching it. But the whole, that aside, Disney Plus, it seems a weird platform to put this on. Netflix wouldn't bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
This has got Netflix all over it.
Well, Disney Plus is no longer just like, you know, old.
Now they've got the Kardashians
now. The Kardashians, they've got all the Star Wars films. Like,
this is true.
You know, it's not just The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast now.
But I don't think they can swear, because I'm sure I've seen an interview of the Kardashians. I don't know if it was Kim. It might have been Khloe saying that they can't say the F word. Because it's now Disney.
Really?
But back when it was Keeping Up.
On E.
On E, they could say everything.
Keeping Up on E.
I mean, Kim could walk it and clump Chloe with a bag round her head. No one batted an eyelid. But Disney Plus, we've got to rein it in.
Interesting.
So they can't say the F word.
What the hell are they going to do in this, Colleen? Surely, I think half
fuck
of
no.
them.
I can't say it on Disney Plus, but we can on FUBAR Radio.
So, two very different broadcasts.
So yeah, the fact that Disney have bidded for them, but I mean, to be fair, fair play, I will be watching it.
Yeah, fair. If you've got time and inclination, Bob, you go for it.
We're going to have to watch it because we'll be talking about it the Wednesday after. So you better sit there with your little
fair.
Disney. Next story, my love. What's caught your eye, Steve?
Well, I did like this story about Pedro Pascal, who's like one of the men at the moment, isn't he? With his, well, everyone's talking about him and has been for ages. He was denied entry to an exhibit dedicated to him because it was closed.
Ironic.
So he came all the way to the I Love Pedro Pascal exhibit.
In Margate.
In Margate, only to get there and find out it was closed. I mean, if you were the person that ran that exhibition. So,
see, this is the thing.
So fuming.
See, when we talk about the minutiae, whatever the word is, I initially thought this. I thought, God, if that was my expedition, I'd be fuming.
Yeah.
Like, everything is about him. He's turned up the one person and you won't let him in. But then I put my Kris Jenner head on, and I thought, actually, would we even be reading or talking about this if you let him in? Probably not. So again,
maybe
not saying, not throwing any stones, but maybe it was a clever move to not let him in, because
yeah, but
I don't think we would be sat here talking about if he turned up.
But, well, I don't know.
Would we?
I think if it's like one of those tiny little galleries, there'd just be no one there when
so
it was.
So do you not think there might have been an element of a PR twist that we actually thought this could be one of them things?
It definitely could be, but I do feel like him turning up to an exhibition about himself would probably be quite iconic too.
Of course, whereas I initially would have thought, well, open the door to him, even if
yeah,
it was closed.
Yeah, but if no one was there, but what if there's no one there to open the door?
Oh, someone's got to turn up with the keys. You've got to let him round. He's turned up to Margate.
That is, I mean, that is true.
I mean,
that's not like...
All he's got to do is put a tweet out on Instagram story, tag him.
Yeah, that's true.
Or knock at the door.
Or someone should be able to... Surely you'd know...
He posted a picture on Instagram.
Did he? Right, okay.
So if you've made an expedition about this one person, you're telling me you ain't following him. If I'd done that and I saw him post, I'd be like, we've got to get... I would have turned up myself whether I was in a onesie, in my
in
boxer,
pants.
In my pants, I would have turned up with a curry, I would have got the chub out, and I would have been, come on.
In front of Pedro Pascal. Didn't ever get your chub
Stephen
out.
Stephen gave a little wink there. I mean the key, guys. I mean the key. It's not a pet name that I call it. But I would have turned up myself.
Yeah, I mean, I would have too. But I just, sometimes it just doesn't work out like that. Maybe in the end it did, and they sort of, and it was all funny and it was all a game or whatever. I'm sure he still had a lovely day out in Margate though. Lovely place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've ever been, but I've heard it's...
I'm actually going in like 3 weeks on the weekend.
By the seaside, isn't it?
Lovely, by the seaside. Got a lovely couple of gay bars, Bob.
Lovely. Never been to one. Willing to try.
Yeah, there's one called Sundowners, which is lovely, like on the beach. Lovely view, good drag queens. They have a good pride in Margate every year.
Do they?
Yeah, it's considered like one of the best ones in the country. Started really small. And there's loads to do. Little Shell Grotto, lovely beach, fish and chips,
and
fairground.
Nothing better than a sausage in batter by the sea.
Yeah. Well, get your chub out, Bob, and have a sausage in...
See, I don't eat fish, do I?
Yeah,
but I love
true.
A sausage in batter. Yeah. And I think they even taste better by the sea. Chips taste better by the sea.
The only thing is by the sea is you have to protect yourself from seagulls that are willing to attack you.
They're like them dinosaurs. Do you remember back in the day, Jurassic Park, the ones that had wings?
Pterodactyl.
Yeah. You want to see the ones at South End. Savage.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't go, babe.
You're missing out.
Oh. Last time I went to South End, I ended up in a bar.
Oh,
no,
one?
I went to go see Jane McDonald in South End.
Love a bit of Jane.
And then I went to the casino because it was the only place that was open.
Oh, yeah. Late drinks as well.
I was
Shout out to South End Casino. I've been there a couple of times. For a late drink and a game of roulette.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we were there for.
It's the only thing I can play, and even then I'll just do red or black.
Yeah, fine, babes. That's
fine. I'm not a poker boy. I don't know the rules. I can't do rummy.
Can you not?
No snap.
Yeah, I mean, babes, come on. that was the last time I was in Southend. But anyway, Margate, I would thoroughly recommend, as Pedro Pascal.
Because they've thrown a lot of money as well.
Yeah,
do they have a theme parks at Southend? We
Dreamland.
Used to call it Peter Pan's back in the day, but I think it's now called Adventure Island.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, get yourself down there. I'll take your surfing one day.
I'm up for it.
You'll
babes.
Love it.
Maybe not any other time than a sunny day in the summer. Can't imagine.
Unlikely
it's that nice
in
to go
Southend.
With. Yeah. Okay. Fair. Good point.
Very unlikely.
Probably got time for one more story, Bob. Anything else?
One more story. I mean, it has been a busy week. What should we go for?
What about Madonna?
Yeah, let's do a bit of Madge. So she's announced her new tour dates after postponing due to her little elf scare.
Yeah.
But getting tickets is like impossible.
I think it's pretty much sold out. So London is basically the opening of the gig now, so of her tour now. After all of that, so people the Brits are going to get to see her first. So that'll be dead exciting for her. And she just turned 65 as well.
Don't look a day over 21.
No.
What are the tickets going for, Stephen?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Are they like?
Because who did we speak about last time going for cray cray money?
God,
Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, I'm not. I'm not sure.
I don't think you're getting 30 quid tickets for Madge.
No, you're definitely not.
Probably 30 quid to see a film at the cinema now. Nearly said a brand.
You can get £6 of you.
No,
yeah.
Still,
yeah.
I think my popcorn's more than
that's,
that.
That's post-pandemic. They're £6 all the time, every day.
Gosh, the cinema. That's more than a bag of minstrels, isn't it?
I think my friends who went paid 150 quid. Or going, rather, and that's for the O2, but they are in, like, nosebleed seats.
I love the O2. They're like, if you've got vertigo...
Not for you.
Which I've got a terrible fear of heights. But, I mean, it's Madge. She's one of them. You know, we always talk about people you'd love to see. Mm. But I like old Madge.
Mm.
Like, old school. I mean, I'm still here for her.
I'll
embrace her, but I like the old school.
Yeah, well, this is a greatest hits tour, so she will be doing all the old hits.
Maybe we'll see her get a couple of PR tickets. We'll get her into Access when she's over here.
Nothing would please me more.
We'll get her over here, and then she can take us to the O2 straight from here. Right, so we're going to leave showbiz there. Going to do also, we know I love a little bit of a Bobby on the Street. Today is no different. Been out and about in London Town, and the sun is shining bright. Now, Disney is 100 this week. Can you believe it?
Wow, happy birthday, Disney.
Happy birthday, Diz. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go out and about and ask the people, what's your favourite Disney film? Because, okay, I mean, there's so many now. Yeah. So let's just have a little teaser. Now, guys, you know the drill by now. You've got to follow us on Instagram. We've got a new handle. It's at AAAFUBAR. Every Friday, the full Bobby on the Street drops. But I'm going to give you just a little teaser now. And then we're going to go to break and go straight into our interview with Oliver and James from Strictly. But first up, here is Bobby on the Street.
Mine would be Hannah Montana, because it's just a classic. You grew up watching it.
I think my favourite is Tangled. I've always loved that one. Something about it is just, it feels like quite grown up, but still, like, I can be a child whilst watching it, and all the songs, I love them. I watched it, like, the other week with my friends, and we were really hungover, and it cured our hangover.
Finding Nemo. I just think it's a great storyline.
So I would say that my favourite Disney film is Dumbo, and the reason that it's my favourite film is because I've got really little ears, and my sister always used to take the mick out of me and call me Dumbo, because I have really small ears, and the irony.
Tangled, and because it's a classic.
Definitely Fantasia, because it's so screwed up. It gave me nightmares for years of my life, and I loved it. I watched it like 6 times.
Absolutely love it. So guys, we'll see you back in two with the lovely Oliver and James from Strictly.
FUBAR Radio presents Access
All Areas. We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to
Amazon. Or goat's gonads, or vagina of cow. Yeah.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just
the social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know, we're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
Please do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook, and you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. What was the other one? It was it's complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with, or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed, so you'd be sitting there, and then in your feed it would be I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you like that one? Or poke them? Did you poke them? Then you give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Give them a little virtual poke. Just to go, I see you're single now, babe. Facebook were great, weren't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. And we're going to go straight into our interview with the lovely Ola and James Jordan. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
So good. Thank you for joining us on the show this evening.
Thanks for having us.
Sorry, darling.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're so welcome. How have you been, guys? I've not seen you for a while.
I know, it's been ages.
So long. Well, we had the old Panny D, didn't we, in between?
Yeah, just that little thing.
Yes, exactly.
Because we did Celeb Croach Trip together, didn't we? Which was what, just before the pandemic? What was that?
Yes,
19?
That was years ago, that Croach Trip.
When
now,
was
wasn't
that?
It?
2018,
19, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes before the pandemic.
Yeah, yes, when Corona was just a beer.
Exactly.
But anyway, that aside, guys, just got to start by saying you both look incredible.
Gorgeous.
Thank you very much. So are you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much. What are you guys doing? Because you are bang on it right now, aren't you? So you've released your own little, you've got your dance shred.
Dance shred.
Tell me about it, guys. And what stemmed that?
During the pandemic, I got myself in a pretty bad place because I lost my dad, and obviously we were in lockdown, and you have two different kinds of people, right? People that
go out and go to the gym and smash it and better themselves and can really get stuck in. I got myself in a bit of a bad place and just wanted to sit at home and do nothing and eat and, yeah, both of us.
Yeah, and I was obviously pregnant previous to that and put a lot of weight on. And yeah, we just got ourselves in a bad place. We one day looked at each other and went, oh my God, what happened? We sort of didn't recognize ourselves and we were sort of desperate to get ourselves back to ourselves, you know, because when I was looking at myself, it wasn't me. It sort of, there was something that was sitting there. It wasn't me. I wasn't recognizing myself.
Listen, and I thought, you know what it's like. You've done a massive transformation as well. And we got to the position where we just, as Ola said, both thought we've got to do something about this. We, you know, when we're all in our Strictly days, in our heyday, we used to be really fit. And then all of a sudden we're walking past the mirror and you have a glance in the mirror.
Yeah, or being on holiday and people recognize James, but they don't quite recognize me. And they go, was that her or not? Was he with someone else?
Yeah.
So that's when you go, oh, people actually do not recognize me anymore. I'm that, you know, I'm just not recognizable anymore.
And I guess the thing is, because I'd never done any kind of fitness. So when we were together, as you could tell, you saw me in swimming shorts. I was scared of gyms. I'd never kicked a ball. I'd certainly never played rugby. I'd done nothing. But I guess for you guys, from kids, I'm guessing, to be at your level of dancing, you have had to, I guess, your whole life be fit. Do you think the fact we then went into lockdown, that was all taken away, wasn't it? So you can see why so many people got stuck in a rut, because all we could do was sit on the sofa and binge Netflix.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to us. We just didn't work because, first of all, I was pregnant previous to that. So obviously all our work was sort of dancing and everything. So we sort of slowed down with work like that. And then, yeah, we just got ourselves in a bad, bad place.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, we weren't able to go to gyms for quite a while. For me, the biggest thing was, you know, being told my dad had a terminal brain tumour and it affected me for a long time and I couldn't get my head around it. And yeah, I just think that was a massive part of the reason that I just didn't want to do anything and just kept comfort eating, really, weren't we?
Yeah, but then at the same time, we had this little baby in our arms. And then after months and months, we were like, what are we doing? We've got to get ourselves back because we've got to, you know, be healthy and fit for this baby, you know, because we are older parents as well. So,
and that's when Dance Shred was formed. We thought, okay, we used to dance and we started doing it at home, actually. We started just putting some little routines together. And obviously we used to go to the gym a lot. We used to train a lot together, which we weren't able to do. And then we started mixing it with functional exercises like burpees and lunges and squats and all these different exercises, but to music. So we were mixing all the dances that you see on Strictly, whether it be the jive, the cha-cha, the salsa, the, you know, we were mixing these dances with functional exercises and we were like, this is really good fun.
And then we had little Ella that was joining us as well. We were like, okay, we were doing this in our kitchen with our baby, the three of us. We were like, this is actually, there's something there.
And of course, we had to change our diet as well, which we did. We became much more aware of what we were eating, portion sizes, how many calories we were eating a day. But the main thing for us was that we were moving and it makes you feel good. It releases endorphins. Dancing also makes you feel good. It's fun.
And we were dancing again together.
Oh. And the weight just started dropping off. And within, I think it was about 4 months, we lost nearly 7 stone between the two of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
That's incredible, isn't it?
That is a lot. I mean, yeah, we've put a lot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
And so now people can subscribe to this. Is that how it works? What's Dance Shred?
Yeah,
we've got a platform where you can join the dance workouts, Dance Shred workouts, and subscribe. And there's a lot of new content that we're coming up with all the time. We actually filmed today a lot of new content. We're exhausted today, but yeah, there's a lot of new ideas, and yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have that and having that, you know, what we love doing.
And something that transformed our lives. We're now watching it transform so many other people's lives.
Yeah, that's nice.
Which you get a lot of satisfaction out of that. So we know when we're going into the studio, like the last 2 days we've been doing really early mornings and we've only literally just got back now, but we know that it's going to help other people. So it spurs us on as well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's called dancehred.co.uk.
And you know, seeing the before and after of people, how much they just happier. And it doesn't matter. It's not about being perfect in your bikini. Let's not, you know, it is being happier within yourself. So even if it's one size down or just doing the dancing for your own happiness. It's really nice for us to be able to share that with everyone.
And there's a lot to be said, like, you know, in our industry, a lot of people, there's pressure to look a certain way and to be a certain way. But I guess even more so from a dancing background, when you're starting out in dancing, because you hear the stories, I guess especially more so for girls, maybe I might be wrong, James, tell me, but girls always say, especially dancers, like, you're very aware from a little girl. Like, it's quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah, you are. You are very aware because the first thing when you walk on a dance floor, people see it's the way you look before you actually move. So you want to look your best.
So you're being judged, aren't you? So as soon as you walk onto the floor, even before you start moving, you're being judged.
Yeah. The way you stand, the way you look, the way you present yourself.
It is important. I mean, the most important thing for us, it's not about how much weight you lose or anything like that. It's about moving, getting healthy, because some people don't want to go to the gym, that they feel intimidated and they want to exercise and they want to better themselves. And we're all about body positivity. But there's some people out there that aren't happy with their bodies.
Yeah.
So we have to find ways to help them. And we've found that lots of people enjoy the fact that they can do this at home. It takes about 20 minutes a day. That's all you need to do. And dancing is fun, you know, and you're learning a new skill. And for those people out there that don't want to go to the gym, it's a great alternative. I love the gym as well. I haven't been to the gym for a long time.
But we can tell, Jones.
You both look great.
I'm a believer in like a lot of our stuff with functional exercises. You need that. You need to push your muscles, you know, as you realise as well. And it makes you feel great, doesn't it?
And I actually think, and you completely hit the nail on the head, what overrides even how you look is, I think, the mental health side, what it does for your head. And I never in my life had had that. Like, when I'm in the gym, who picks a global pandemic to start trying to be fit? But I either self-isolated with a fridge and a Toblerone, or I managed to get a couple of dumbbells and just do something in the garden. So I thought, bearing in mind when Boris said it was going to be 3 weeks, well, I wasn't ever going to learn Latin, let's have it right. I thought, well, I'll do something. I'll try and give up smoking and I'll pick up a couple of dumbbells. But what it did for my head, and actually I think, body aside, it doesn't matter how you look, it's how you feel. And what's up here, that's the most important thing. I wish I'd have done it 10 years before, but you can't stress
Strictly
that enough.
Strictly for you.
Well, talking of Strictly, guys, as two professionals that have absolutely smashed it on that show, what do you think of the new lineup for this year?
I really like the lineup. I think they've got some real great characters on there.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
There's someone for everyone.
I mean, Les Dennis.
We've got Angela Rippon as the oldest contestant
Angela
ever.
Rippon, I mean, amazing. And actually, the people that I'm most excited to watch are actually of the older generation.
Right,
so they're people that I've grown up watching on TV.
Yeah.
Where normally I think, oh, a few old ones on there, they're going to go out first. But I don't think so this year. I think it's going to... I think it's a really good mix. And the great thing about Strictly, like, there's a lot of people I don't know as well, but it doesn't matter. You get to know them. You get to go on that journey with them. And it's one of those shows. You could have 12 total unknown people. Because the format is so powerful, it just works. So when people go to me, oh, but I don't know many of the people, it doesn't matter. It'll still be an amazing, amazing show. But no, this year, I think there's some exciting ones.
I'm always intrigued, especially for two ex-professionals that have done it for so long. And I mean, no one ever knows guaranteed. No one's got a crystal ball. But could you ever, whether it's this lineup or previous years, can you read a lineup on paper or on an online newspaper? Can you see the list? And can you ever call it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? Who are you calling? I'm putting it out there now. Before we've even had episode one, who are you calling for this year?
I don't remember his name.
But is it Bobby Brazier?
And once I've watched the first show, I could pretty much tell you who's going to be in the final, because you have to remember that popularity is really important because it overrides anything. Mm-hmm. But if you're the best dancer, you're never really going to be voted out because the judges will always save you.
Mm-hmm. Because when you go to the bottom two, the judges save the best one.
Yeah, so you kind of can get a gist of who's going to be really good. And you think even if they end up in the bottom two, the judges are still going to save them.
Right.
So,
true.
Very seldom happens there's two good people at the bottom two.
Yeah. But there could be a shock this year. I think there's going to be someone that's super, super popular that we all fall in love with. Don't know who that is yet, but I do predict there will be one person. But the guy that we said is pretty much a shoo-in for the final would be...
Leighton Williams?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so he's musical theatre, isn't
obviously,
he?
Obviously, you know, he had dance training, so he's going to be amazing.
I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah,
he will be amazing.
I've just obviously looked at his background and thought, well, he's going to be great, isn't he?
So he's going to be in a competition for a long time. But, you know, I'm excited to see Bobby Brazier.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's
not Norris this year. Might be next year, Bobby Norris.
Yeah, exactly. Ola loves Ryan Thomas as well.
Adam Thomas.
Adam Thomas. I did jungle with Adam, and I remember holding his frame, you know, when we were in the jungle.
Oh, did you? That's good.
Was you getting close with Adam?
No. So, guys.
No, let's have a chat about this.
What's your thoughts? Because I'm really intrigued, because I can then throw this to James, because I know a lot of people said this when you did Dancing on Ice, but, you know, like, for instance, Leighton's from a performing arts background, so he can dance, but I'm guessing that there's one thing dancing on a West End stage and what you guys do is next level. But I remember when you did Dancing on Ice, they was like, oh, he's a professional dancer. But that don't mean you can skate. Do you think,
no,
and we've had it with like girl bands.
Yeah, I still had advantages, but learning how to skate, I always said I have no advantage being a dancer learning how to skate. It's like saying, okay, a footballer, we're going to now do football on ice. Oh, well, that's unfair because he's a football player. True. But can he ice skate? So it doesn't matter whether how good he is at football. Until you can learn how to ice skate, you're not going to... But once I learned how to ice skate, of course I can make my arms look nice and I've lifted girls before. Yeah. But it is still very different lifting on ice, but I know the technique of lifting.
Yeah, right.
So yes, I had advantages. I never denied that. But when these... Some people, not all of them, when people come out and they're trained dancers, they've been to the West End and they've had choreography given to them and they understand music and timing and picking up steps.
And I guess timing's half of it, isn't it?
They've got a massive advantage over someone, Joe Bloggs, that's never, ever danced in their life. Of course they do.
Yeah.
And it's when they deny it that it annoys me. I'd prefer they just say, yeah,
I've never
trained in ballroom and Latin, I can... hear music. I've learned steps before, so yeah, I probably do.
I'm trying to think.
Advantage.
Was it Frankie Bridge from the Saturdays? I remember someone going, "Oh, she was in a girl group, but she was like, I've never done the waltz or the tango." Like, so she was like, "Yeah, I've done a few moves for music videos, but I've never done ballroom."
She'd had less. She had less dance training than.
So there is a difference.
Yeah.
So you might do a couple of moves. I mean, I can do a couple of slut drops for you.
No one asked,
but
Bob.
That don't mean I'm going to go up Blackpool Tower. Do you know what I mean?
But the thing is, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You need to have good dancing on Strictly as well.
Yeah, it's
because
a variety.
If everyone was terrible, you wouldn't want to watch the show. You still need to see those good people. Mm. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing having trained dancers on there, but just fess up and go, yes, I've had dance training.
Yeah, fair.
But not in ballroom and Latin.
And like we were saying, that if you saw the list online, or I don't know how it starts, day one of Strictly, and they go, these are the 12 or 15 celebs. When you're given yours, do you kind of get a gut feeling? Do you think, I've got a good one here? Or can you kind of think, oh, this is going to be hard work?
I can tell when someone walks in, just by the way they stand. I know it sounds really weird.
Yeah.
But we've been dancing so long, just by the way someone holds themselves and everything,
walking,
you go, oh,
the way they
no.
walk.
Because didn't you have Anne Whittacombe? You did Anne Whittacombe, didn't you?
No, that was Anton.
Oh, that was Anton. Can you tell us, who was your favourite and who was your worst?
Oh, I would never tell you who my worst was.
Yes, you will. Come on, James.
I actually got on really well with all mine. Who was my favourite? I loved Dancing with Pamela Stevenson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was good.
She was brilliant.
She was an older lady.
She was an older lady, more so mature lady. She had had previous dance training.
Held herself well.
For me. But she lost like 3 stone when she did the show as well, didn't
Jeez,
she?
Really? Yeah.
She was great fun. I danced with Alex Jones from The One Show. Denise That's Van Outen right. was brilliant.
You've had some great people.
Really lovely people.
Oh, guys, I could talk to you all night. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having us.
You're so
We're
welcome.
Have to catch up soon.
Absolutely. I want to see you in person soon, guys. Have a lovely evening.
Too long.
Speak to you soon. Bye, bye guys.
Take care. Bye. Bye, guys. Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Guys, well, thank you so much for listening. You know we'll be here next week, so we will see you next Wednesday. And until then, take care. Bye, guys.
Bye.